The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. When they had come near Jerusalem and had reached Bethpage at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, just say this, 'The Lord needs them,' and he will send them immediately." This took place to fulfill what had been spoken through the prophet, saying, "Tell the daughter of Zion, 'Look, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey.'" The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put their cloaks on them, and he sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them along the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and that followed were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest heaven!" When he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was in turmoil, asking, "Who is this?" The crowds were saying, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee." The Gospel of the Lord. I invite the children to come forward for the children's message. Bring your palms if you've got them. If you don't, I've got extras. Good morning. Have you all ever seen palm branches before? Yeah. We don't have a whole lot of palm trees in Nashville. But we have them today because we call it Palm Sunday. That's because when Jesus came into Jerusalem to celebrate Passover, right before he had the Last Supper and was crucified and was resurrected, he came in the city and it was like a parade. So what do you do at a parade? You celebrate? Have you ever seen a parade? Lots of floats maybe, fire trucks, sirens, marching bands. Well, Jesus didn't have fire trucks or marching bands, but there were a lot of people that wanted to celebrate, and so they threw their coats on the ground and they cut palm branches, and they waved them really high in the air. Can you wave them really high in the air? There we go. So they were celebrating, and they used a special word, Hosanna. Can you say Hosanna? It's not a word that we use a whole lot, but they wanted to celebrate Hosanna to the Son of David. Can y'all say that? Hosanna to the Son of David. Can everybody join us? You got your palms? Hosanna to the Son of David. All right. And repeat after me. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. So it was a parade, a festival, and people are shouting and clapping and they're happy and they're waving these palm branches. And we remember that parade today. We had a little one of our own, but we remember that statement, "Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord." That's who we celebrate, and that's how we enter into Holy Week. Can y'all pray with me, and if y'all want to join in? Dear Lord, thank you for loving us and for having a parade. Help us to celebrate your love and share your love with the world. Hosanna to the Son of David. Amen. All right, we'll see y'all in a little bit. If you want to wave your palms one more time. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Phrases echoing across the just district of Jerusalem on that Palm Sunday. But it wasn't the only parade in town that day. There was another one that probably Jesus was mirroring with his own. Jesus maybe had a sense of theater, of how to hype up an event, or perhaps his followers had an understanding that they were mimicking and perhaps mocking something that was very familiar to the people in Jerusalem during the week of Passover. Passover in ancient Palestine was filled with pilgrims from all over the Judean region, even folks that could travel and afford to travel from areas of the diaspora. The scattered people came together to celebrate one of the three great festivals in Judaism, Passover, marking their exodus from slavery in Egypt and the law and new life that God was creating for them in the Promised Land. It was a tense week in Jerusalem, especially for Pilate and his occupying forces of the Roman Empire. It was no secret what Passover celebrated: the destruction of an emperor for the sake of the life of the people. The Exodus was a violent event celebrated year after year after year. The death of the firstborn in Egypt and the exodus of a people into new life. Lamb's blood painted on the doors. This ritual, this festival was rich in memory and in its public statements. Pilate and the Romans knew exactly what was being celebrated at Passover, and it made them nervous. Because occupied people, when they celebrate Exodus, don't often celebrate quietly. After all, if God had done it once, God would do it again. God had done it to the Egyptians and the Assyrians and the Babylonians, and God would hear our cries against you occupying Romans. And maybe this was the year. And so Pilate, in the early days of his governorship in Palestine, did something very interesting. He set up his summer home and headquarters in Caesarea Maritima on the Mediterranean coast, a city built by Herod the Great, a city that had a temple dedicated to the Emperor Augustus, the son of God in the Roman world. And Pilate wanted to make a statement. So the first or second year of his career as governor in Judea, he started a parade into Jerusalem. But this parade was not marked with shouts of Hosanna and palm branches. It was marked with Roman legionnaires and shields and spears and banners that proclaimed the divinity of Caesar Augustus. And he set them up throughout Jerusalem and put them in the temple courts, which to the Judeans was blasphemy. It broke the first three commandments. And so there was rioting and protest for 6 days. The city was in an uproar. This was Passover, after all. You don't put images of the emperor in the temple ever, but especially not this week. And Pilate had done nothing but stoke the flames of revolt and rebellion. And so on the last day, Pilate gathered citizens into the stadium to celebrate, but said that if they did not proclaim the name of the emperor, they would be put to death. And when they refused, the soldiers drew their swords. The Judeans knelt and pulled down their tunics, exposing their necks. "We will not worship another god." Pilate ordered the soldiers to put their swords away and said nothing else of it until he got an angry letter from his boss in Rome, wondering, "Why did you do that? You don't flame the fires." But every year after that, because of what Passover meant, because of the tensions in the city and the thousands of people that had gathered, every year Pilate marched from Caesarea Maritima at the start of Passover with his chariots and his soldiers and their swords. So there were two parades in Jerusalem that day, one coming from the west in Caesarea Philippi and one coming from the east, Bethpage, the Mount of Olives. And the parade of Jesus looked a little bit different. We've just celebrated it. It's shouting people and palm branches and cloaks spread in the road and prophetic overtones of the Messiah riding not on a war horse but on a donkey. not on a white horse with sword drawn as a conqueror, but a humble servant on a work animal, entering quietly, hopefully. So perhaps it's street theater. It's mocking the parade of Pilate, but this parade is a powerful statement. It combines expectation of the people and who Jesus knows God to be. Against the powers of empire and violence and death, Jesus rides in as a humble servant on a colt and a donkey. Prophetic lines, Hosanna to the Son of David. Prophetic words, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord, are shouted by the people. A memory that God is not absent, that God is not removed, that God will act again, but this is a movement of peace. This Messiah is different than expectations. And let us remember that this is not the first messianic movement in Palestine in the first century. They happened with a little bit of frequency, so much that the expectation of God's anointed had changed and shifted. There was the expectation of a mighty warrior, one who would come in and drive out the dreaded Romans, to end the oppression, to restore the glory of the temple in Jerusalem. But there were also prophetic words about a servant and about suffering and about hope in God's Messiah, not a God of death, but a God of life. And it's that mantle that Jesus takes on, which was different than some of the other messiahs the people knew. Jesus was different, which is why his movement makes it into Jerusalem, which is why he is able to do what he does during Holy Week. He doesn't come in guns blazing. He comes in as a servant to the true God, the God of life and renewal. And when he enters, the city is in an uproar, a turmoil. Who is this? Because they were familiar with Pilate and his parade of soldiers, but this was something different. A colt and a donkey, are you kidding me? Palm branches? What is this? This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee. And that phrase, the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee, would place it. Because not everybody in Jerusalem may have heard of this Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee, but the ones who did could tell a particular story about a man that healed on the Sabbath, about a man who sat in a packed house and four friends, whose fifth friend was sick, couldn't get in, and so they cut a hole in the roof and lowered him down, and Jesus saw their faithfulness and said to the man, take up your mat and go and walk. About a man who broke bread for thousands in the wilderness, about a man who taught about mercy and release, a man who challenged the economic and religious understandings of what it meant to be human in the world. That Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee. The one who brings peace that surpasses all understanding, the one who brings healing, the one who brings a kingdom of God. That's what we celebrate, a counterintuitive movement of the anointed Jesus, a movement of peace, sustenance, and healing. And it's still countercultural today. We may not see it or perceive it, but this waving of palm branches and the celebrating of an alternative parade into the city is still a statement about what this kingdom means against the kingdoms that continue to operate in the world, and we have seen them on display this week here in Nashville. And tragically, we've been drawn into a conversation and moment that has happened across this nation unnecessarily for decades. the killing of innocents, especially children, should not happen in any nation in this world. And yet it came close to home, and 7 people died. And immediately after the frenzy of political statements and public statements, the litany that is all too familiar, that other parade that Pilate was leading, we need more soldiers, we need more weapons, we need more defenses. That parade came into our community in a way that it never had before. Calls for more death and more systems of death in the face of what is actually needed, which is sensible and reasonable. And what the movement of Jesus on Palm Sunday represents: healing, sustaining, creative, imaginative. That's what the world needs, not more weapons. Pilate has had his day, and it's enough. The God whom we worship is never absent and weeps with us in weeks like this week, and has very strong words about what it means to take care of a community. And none of those words involve more weapons. God's words involve presence, peace, reason. Jesus' movement shook the status quo of the place in which he lived, and these words of peace continue to provoke today. Now, it's not always tensionless. The very next day, Jesus walks into the temple and sees the blasphemy of what's going on and turns over tables, makes a whip of cords, and drives out the money changers. The temple system had become unrecognizable from God's intention. And Jesus' statement is that this is not how our God operates. And so he drives out that which is unclean and unholy. And I fully believe that if Jesus were here today, he would march with the high school students tomorrow as they make their way and walk out of school and to the Capitol to protest injustice and to protest madness. If you want to know where Jesus is on Holy Week, look for the ones who cry for justice. That's where Jesus shows up. It's been a hard week. Beyond the shooting, beyond the storms, the cacophony of the issues in our world seem too much. They seem overbearing. But what we celebrate today is hope, because there is one who arrives on the scene with healing. Not always as we expect, but exactly what we need. Not a conqueror, but a healer. A savior and a servant who comes in quietly, sometimes comes in with a parade, but always with healing and love. Let us mark Holy Week in that way. Partly protest against the profane and violent, and partly worship and proclamation of love, forgiveness, and healing. Because the whole spectrum of human life is caught up in what we will walk through this week. From the darkness of the upper room and the gift of a meal with Jesus, to the darkness of a cross, to the light of an Easter morning and an empty tomb and a Savior who defeats the power of death. It's all here. So, let us join our shouts of proclamation and praise. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord, and to that I would add, with peace and healing. Amen.